Good evening again to each of you. Greetings in the name of Jesus. The first song that we sung tonight was a very beautiful hymn. And it touched my heart because I came with some cares, and it said in the presence of God tonight you can unbosom them and just let them go. So if you come with some care tonight, some things that are weighing you down, just leave them go. God knows them. He can see them. He'll help us with those things. I'm thankful for that tonight, that a God that's so big, but yet he does see us, he does know us, and he will help us. Praise God. Well, last night I was thinking on the way home that I forgot to tell you the title of the message, so if you're looking for a title last night, I failed you. So I think the title was Surrender to Your Captain was the title of the message last night. So I will try to remember to give that to you. Before we go into the message here tonight, let's sing a verse or two of our theme song, Perfectly Broken. I think tonight we'll sing verses 1 and 2. Think about your life. Am I like clay tonight in the hands of the potter, the one who wants to mold me, shape me, take off the rough edges? I have rough edges that need to be taken off, smoothed out, and I want God to do that, and sometimes it's going to cause us a little bit of pain, and parts of us have to die. That's part of the Christian life. And so tonight the call is to come and be perfectly broken, and let God make you into that vessel that is beautiful for him, that can bring honor to him. Let's sing verses 1 and 2. Can we have the pitch of that song?
No me without the Savior, this life is a puzzle, a shattered hopes and dreams, an unfinished picture with
true.
Well, I trust that's our testimony tonight. That's our heart's desire. God will help us if our hearts have that testimony and that feeling and that desire. You can turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 1 for the message here tonight. I'd like to read the first 5 verses of this chapter. And the title for the message is in a question form. And the question is, why Jesus died? It's a very simple question. And I'd like to use this passage tonight to answer that question. And so as we read these verses, keep your mind and your ears open for reasons and for answers to why Jesus died. Chapter 1 here of Galatians, we'll start at verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me, unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Did you hear any answers to the question tonight, why Jesus died? Just list them out. I'm looking for your help. Why did Jesus die?
For our sins.
All right, for our sins. Very good. To deliver us. All right, to accomplish the will of his Father. Right.
To receive glory.
All right, absolutely. To bring glory to his Father. Glory forever and ever. Amen. What a beautiful opening to a letter. Just think of receiving this letter and you're reading this and it's, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, and then who gave himself for us, for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Why did Paul open this letter with this glorious, wonderful gospel statement? What was the purpose of Paul's writing this here? Well, just jump down to verse 6, verse 7. Paul says that he's marveling that they're so soon removed from him, from the grace of Christ, and they're being moved onto another gospel. And so leaven was slipping into this church here. The gospel was being promoted in a different way. It was a sort of a twisted, perverted gospel. And we read about that further on. Paul takes that up. And so Paul opens up this letter with a declaration of what the true gospel is. This is a picture of the true gospel in verses 4 and 5. And so like the old saying goes, the best way to expose a crooked stick is to lay it alongside a straight stick. And so sometimes we just need to have the straight stick and know what the straight stick is, and that will help us decide, well, that's not right, but this is right. And so Paul laid out a clear vision of the gospel of Jesus to expose the dangerous gospel that was being preached. It wasn't actually a gospel. It was man's work. Man's work. And so tonight, why did Jesus die? And you listed the reasons that are found here in these verses. And I just want to take a very simple approach to the message. And I just want you to leave tonight being inspired. And I want you to leave joyful tonight because of why Jesus died and what he's done for you. I want you to leave this place tonight and we go out into the dark world. But we got joy in our hearts and we got a smile on our face because Jesus died for me. And so the first reason that Jesus died, who gave himself for our sins. Verse 4. He gave himself for our sins. That is to pay the price. There was a debt that you and I owed tonight that we could not pay. There was a price that needed to be paid that you and I could not do. We could not pay this price. We were in a helpless situation. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. He gave himself. Do you notice the word gave? He gave himself. Have you ever thought and meditated and looked out verses in the Bible about what Jesus gave? And thought about that? He gave. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28 says, "Even so the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." In Luke chapter 22, verse 19, Jesus says, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Galatians chapter 2, and verse 20, Paul says, "He loved me and gave himself for me." 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all." Ephesians 5, verse 25, "Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Would you conclude tonight that Jesus was a selfish person? Would you conclude tonight that Jesus lived for himself while he was here? Would you conclude that Jesus took time for himself? He had carved out me time, we call it sometimes. You think that's what we would conclude about Jesus? No, we will conclude the opposite. He came and he gave and he gave and he gave. And he served, and he served, and he served over and over and over again. He poured his life out for mankind. He did. He did. Jesus tonight is the wonderful giver. We see that in this verse. Who gave. Who gave himself. He gave himself. He didn't give a perfect lamb. He could have. He owns all the lambs in the world. He didn't give gold, but he could have. He owns all the wealth of this world. He didn't give animals. He gave himself. Not all the beasts on Jewish altars slain could give the guilty conscience peace or wash away its stain. He gave himself. Animals would not do. Money will not do. This needed to be a special sacrifice. This needed to be a man. This needed to be a God-man. This is who it needed to be. And so God, before the world was created, he had already foreordained the plan of salvation. It was already in place. God knew. God knew what was going to happen. He knew the trouble we were going to get ourselves into. And so he sent his son as a man to identify with us, but as God, to satisfy the justice of a righteous God. So we have a perfect God-man, and our minds grapple with that and all of that, and we don't completely understand that, but it's a mystery. The mystery of the God-man. But tonight, he gave himself. No one else but himself. Who gave himself for our sins. That three-letter word is really small. Such a simple word. For. Some have said it's the most powerful word in the English language. We use this word often. Suppose tonight I would be offering my van for sale, and I would say, well, if you gave me, I don't know what that van's worth, not very much, it's pretty old, but maybe $2,000 for my van, you can have it. And so you give me the $2,000 for my van, I have the $2,000, you have the van. We see in this word for, it means an exchange. It means a substitution. Christ gave himself for our sins. Jesus, tonight, he died in your place. He died in my place. We all deserve to die and to be judged for our sins. We do. We weren't able to help ourselves. We couldn't. But Christ died for us. The atonement of Jesus tonight is a substitutionary atonement. He died. He died for us. He died in our place. Just think upon that. Think about that. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. These are beautiful verses. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He died for me. He died for you. He died for your neighbor. He died for the people you work for. He died for the world. Think upon these truths. They'll inspire you. They will. What a beautiful Savior we have, who gave himself for our sins. Sometimes the atonement is made very personal. As Paul says here in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, he says, who loved me and gave himself for me. It's very personal. But this verse says he gave himself for our sins. And so it has a broad meaning. This is wide. John chapter 1, verse 29. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John chapter 4, verse 42. The Samaritan woman said, she testified and she said, I know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. The world. Christ died for our sins. He died for the sins of the world tonight. Do we believe that? Do we operate on that premise that all men that we meet are candidates for the gospel? Christ is willing and ready to save them. He has died for them. His blood is sufficient for the men who have lived before us and men who will live after us if time continues. sufficient. Sufficient. The sad reality tonight, Jesus tells us, is this. He says that there's only going to be a few people who are going to find this way. There's only going to be a few people that are going to find this way. The way that leads to life. That's what he said in Matthew chapter 7. But he said there's going to be many, many people that are going to be on the broad way. It's a good way now, it seems. But the end is bad. Many people are on that road. Do you feel burdened tonight for the people you know that are unsaved? Who are not Christians, who don't believe in Jesus, who don't have time for Jesus? Do you feel burdened for those people? We have a message to share tonight. We have a message to share. We are Christ's messengers. Who else is going to get the message out there? If you don't do it, who's going to do it? This is our responsibility, brothers and sisters. Renew your mind day by day and think upon this. This is our job. This is our duty. This is our calling. And we love to do it because of what Christ has done for us. Do we see that? Yes, Jesus will redeem a people for himself, Revelation says, by his blood. And they're going to come out of every tribe, every tongue, and every nation. People will hear the message and they will come and they will be saved. Gave himself for our sins. Who is Paul talking about when he says this? For our sins. Acts chapter 20, verse 28 says, feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Ephesians 5, verse 25, he loved the church and gave himself for her. This is who Christ died for. He died for his church. He died for the church, which is his body. Have you been joined to the body? Have you found Christ? Are you a part of the church? This is who he died for. He died for the church. He gave himself for the church. Are we plugged into a church? That's his body. There's comfort tonight in believing that Jesus died for you personally, but that he's died for the whole world. Share the message. Tomorrow you will have opportunity, likely, to do that. Take courage to do that. He died for our sins. That's the next word. We're just sort of taking this word by word here. He gave himself for our sins. The problem tonight, it is not politics, it's not government, it's not who the new president's going to be. It's not our education. It's not our economy. It's not our environment. It's not the hurts and the mistakes. And it's not our upbringing. That isn't our problem tonight. We have a deeper need. Deeper than what we think are our problems. Our problem tonight is sin. That's our problem. These other things are just symptoms of our great disease that we have. Tonight, you and I have to come to grips with the fact that we are sinners. That we have sinned. That's the problem with the human race. Tonight is sin. That's the problem with this country tonight. It's sin. That's the problem with the entire world tonight. It is sin. That's our biggest problem. Jesus died for our sins, not just for one sin, right? But he died for all of our sins. He is capable of taking care of all of our sins. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you your sin, to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Beautiful verse. Beautiful promise. Tonight, we all need to stop shifting the blame and blaming our circumstances and our family and our upbringings and all the things that we like to lay blame on of reasons for this is why I am who I am. And I'm sure those things all play into us. I understand that. But we need to come to grips with our own. We're accountable ourselves tonight. This is a personal problem. We need to cry out as that publican did, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Christ is able to take away. He's able to wash away every sin, small or great. It's been paid in full. As he hung on that cross, right before he died, he cried out with a loud voice and he said, what? It is finished. It's finished. It's completed. No more work needs to be done. The plan of salvation is now complete forever. Praise the Lord. Praise God tonight. Peter talks about now we're able to be partakers of the divine nature. These are things that I grapple with. How can this be that you and I tonight, children of God, can be a partaker of God's own nature? How can this be? This is what the Bible says. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. Ransomed from sin and a new work begun. Sing praise to the Father and praise to the Son. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. Saved, saved. My sins are all pardoned. My guilt is all gone. Glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. I am saved by the blood of the crucified one. No condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine, alive in him, my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine. Bold I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? These are some beautiful songs that we sing. Tonight, brothers and sisters, we can be free tonight. We can be absolutely free. The sin can be dealt with. Deal with it. Deal with it. This is the message of the gospel. Does this mean tonight that you and I can go on, continue living in our sin? Well, Paul says, no, God forbid that we should continue on in sin. Can I live for myself? Can I live any way I want to now? No. We're now Christ. We now want to be in his word. We now want to discover what God's will is for me. How does he want me to live as his child? We're changed. We're a new person in Christ. We put to death the old man, our selfishness, those lusts, those desires that come and want to control us. We do whatever we need to get rid of those things. Every day, we put on the good things of God. We think upon things that are true and lovely and pure and honest. Can't think of all that verse. That's what it's like to be a Christian. We put it off. We put it on. He gave himself for our sins. The second phrase says that he might deliver us from this present evil world. That he might deliver us. That he might rescue us. That's what the word means. To rescue us from this present evil world. What is Paul saying? He's saying tonight that there is power in the blood. That's what he's saying. There's power in this gospel message. Our Lord tonight, he doesn't just go to the salvage yard. He doesn't just go to the junkyard and he pulls us out of the junkyard and just sets us off to the side. No, that's not what our Lord does. He brings us up out of that pit. sets our feet upon a rock. He establishes our going, and we become like the Psalm 1 man who was, we're planted by the river, and we grow as a tree, and we begin to bear fruit for God. This is what Christ does. He doesn't just pull us out of the junkyard, but he changes us. He rescues us from this present evil world and from the mess that I got myself into. I've got myself into some pretty big mess. There's hope. That's the gospel message tonight. There's hope in the gospel. You might be in the junkyard. You might feel ruined and wrecked tonight, but Christ is willing and ready to save you. And he will bring you into his kingdom, and he will fix you up better than new. Titus chapter 2, verse 14, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. That's what Christ does with the junkyard, with the salvage, with the wrecks. Romans chapter 8, verse 32, and he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Jesus has come tonight to deliver us from the sin and from the bondage and from the chains and from the iron fetters that will bind you until you feel there's no hope. He has come to rescue us. He has come to deliver. This tonight is what sets Christianity apart from any other religion. Other religions have their important teachers and their prophets and the men that they look up to. But tonight, our Lord tonight, he's a deliverer and he's a rescuer. Who else can do this? No one. No longer are we slaves to sin. No longer are we slaves to the approval of men. No longer are we slaves bound by our own passions and our lusts. No longer. But we have now, we're slaves to God and to righteousness and to living right. We have been freed tonight from the power of sin. Sin no longer has to have a grip upon me tonight. Do you believe that? We can choose to put that thing to death. We have power to do that if we choose to do so. We no longer need to fall. Yes, we will probably. We will stumble. But get back up again. Get back up again and keep going. Keep going. Faithful to the end, and we'll be saved and rescued from the presence of sin forever. Right now, tonight, we're just strangers and pilgrims here, aren't we? Are we? We're just passing through. I'm but a stranger here. Heaven is my home. Is that how I live? This present evil world, it stands in stark contrast to the future world wherein dwelleth righteousness. Tremendous, tremendous opposites. An evil world. Do I need to convince you tonight that this world is evil? Do we need to be convinced about that tonight, that this world is evil? Perhaps sometimes we do need to be convinced about this. Let's just start back in Genesis chapter 2 and 3. You have those first parents there, Adam and Eve, and it wasn't long before they were telling lies, disobeying God. Go to the next chapter, those first two brothers will run. One rose up against the other one and slew him. Just go down a little farther down in time, and you have the imagination of man's hearts were, it was evil continually. They couldn't even think anything good no more. It was just bad. God sends that flood, destroys the world. soon after that, though, we have the Tower of Babel going up, and God comes down and puts that thing, destroys that thing. A few more chapters have Sodom and Gomorrah, very wicked cities. God looked down from heaven. There wasn't even 10 righteous souls in those cities. And God, flaming furnace, destroyed them. Do I need to convince you that this world is evil? Men today are still the same. You and we're the same as they were back then. Nothing has changed. Men tonight love darkness rather than light, the scripture tells us. Do I need to tell you that we love ourselves more than we love God? How many dear, precious little babies have been ruthlessly murdered in the United States by abortion? In the last 40 years, we don't know. That'd be 40 million? Like, can we comprehend numbers? This is shocking. Who could do this? Who could do this? This is who men are. Look at my own little precious son, and I thought about that today. I thought, well, how could somebody do that? Do I need to convince you tonight that this world is evil? It's a dark place. There's so much disease, there's so much death, there's so much cruelty. That's what this world is characterized by. Is this your worldview tonight? Is this my worldview? This is a biblical worldview. It's evil. It's wicked. It's dark. This ought to be our worldview if you're a child of God tonight. But do I think this world's a pretty nice place? I'm comfortable. My refrigerator's full. Got nice chairs to sit on. Nice bed to sleep in. Nice cars to drive in. It's a pretty nice place. No one bothers me. Well, tonight, this world tonight is headed for judgment. It's headed for judgment. The wrath of God tonight is upon sinful men. They will be judged. We're looking for a new heaven. We're looking for a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Tonight, if you've been rescued from this present evil world, praise God for that tonight. You have been spared tremendously. The third reason that Jesus died is that he died to fulfill the will of his Father. And this continues to be the struggle of the universe. It's my will and God's will. My will and God's will. This is a struggle that you and I often don't do well with. My will is really strong tonight. I really want what I want. But God tonight is not going to let his reign, he's not going to let his kingdom go unchallenged. It's going to happen, regardless of where I stand myself. Christ was our perfect example of submission to the Father's will. When we pray that prayer sometimes, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Are we okay praying that? Do we think about what we pray? Do we really want God's will to be done, or is it, well, my plans, my desires, my life? God is saying, all on the altar. All on the altar. We all need to take a trip up to Mount Moriah, as Isaac was, and laid on the altar. All of us on the altar. This is the struggle that continues. Our will, God's will. But tonight, if you're a Christian, the matter has been settled. It's going to be God's will. Cease to struggle. Cease to struggle. Be on the altar. Be perfectly broken. Be like the Apostle Paul. Lord, what will you have me to do? I give up. I'm done. I'm done fighting against you. Not my will, but yours be done. That is why Jesus came, to carry out the will of God, to carry out the will of his Father. Lo, I come to do your will, oh my God. Oh God, he says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7. And he did it perfectly. He did it perfectly. All the love that drew salvation plan, all the grace that brought it down to man, all the mighty God that God disband at Calvary. The fourth reason that Jesus died tonight was to bring glory to his Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Jesus came to this earth tonight for the glory of God, for the glory of his Father. That's why he came. We have been redeemed tonight for what purpose solely? It's to bring glory to God. How did the death of Jesus glorify his Father? Mercy at Calvary was great, and grace was free. How could it be that I, child of hell, would in his image shine? I've got a light. I got freedom. I've got a hope of heaven. What mercy, what mercy. Think about the mercy that God has bestowed upon us. Think about tonight how the death of Jesus, how it magnifies the love of God. How did the death of Jesus magnify the love of God? The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star, where? Right up to the mercy seat of God and to the lowest hell. So deep that it can wash away the darkest, deepest stain. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, it shall forevermore endure. Think about how Christ's sacrifice magnified the love of God. Muslims believe tonight that their God forgives. But tonight, Jesus paid it all, and it can be forever gone, washed away as far as the east is from the west, buried into the depths of the ocean. There's no other one that can do such a thing as this, who can forgive sins. They can be completely gone. Christ's death tonight magnifies the power of God, that he can take a slave of sin, fallen, and change him. He can be on God's side. He can now be used by God. He's a different person. Hail, sovereign love that first began the scheme to rescue fallen men. Hail, matchless, free, eternal grace that found my soul a hiding place. Romans 4, verse 7 says, Paul is quoting King David. He says, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. How blessed is this man? Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing. Have you ever wished for 1,000 tongues to sing? For what reason? To praise your great Redeemer's name. That's what Charles Wesley must have had. He must have felt that burden in him. Oh, if only I could have 1,000 tongues. One tongue's not enough to praise my God, my Savior. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. If you're a child of God tonight, that should be on our hearts. That should be how we feel. This should be inspirational to us of what God has done for us. Have you been rescued tonight? Have you been delivered? Do I look like the world? Do I talk like the world? Do I walk like the world? If you do tonight, the gospel message continues to go forth. It's going forth. It's going to keep going forth as long as time is here. And it invites anyone to come. Come. Come tonight. And believe. And walk on a different path. The door is open tonight. And we extend hope. We extend hope tonight. There's going to be a time coming when men are going to cry for what? For rocks and mountains to bury them from the face of an almighty God. Going to be undone. So tonight, we'll sing a verse of an invitation song. If you have a need, come tonight. Come tonight. There's hope. There's healing. There's restoration. Leave your sin behind. Be done with it. Be done with it. So if the Spirit's been speaking to you, tonight is another opportunity. If tomorrow continues, more opportunities come. Take opportunities as they come. Tonight, what shall we sing?
Hymns of the Church,
739. 734.
Lead my soul.
Thank you for your attention. Thank you for your prayers. Continue to pray that God would have his way in my heart and in your hearts. May we go out tonight rejoicing that we're now we're a child of God. And I have a message. I have a message to share that will help anybody who is in a straight fix. May God bless you. May he give you a good night of rest. Return tomorrow evening as you're able. May God continue to work in our hearts. We'll stand for prayer.